Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will discuss how to eat affordable, organic, and green foods all on $5 a day or less. We'll learn how to eat fabulous food, get healthy, and help save the planet with our featured guest, health and cookbook author Linda Watson. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, adults with obese moms may die sooner. Middle-aged adults whose mothers were obese or overweight in pregnancy have increased risk of developing serious cardiovascular problems and dying young, a new study shows. The study, based on the health records of more than 37,000 people born in Scotland between 1950 and 1976, does not explain why a mother's weight would affect the health of an adult child decades later. Genes and upbringing may play roles. Still, results also add to growing evidence that adverse conditions in the womb might have profound effects long after birth, says the study, published in the British Medical Journal. It is very difficult to tease out causes and effects when it comes to intergenerational health. Yet the results lend credence to a theory that overnourished fetuses may develop differences in their brains, blood vessels, hearts, and metabolisms that make it more likely for them to become obese, unhealthy, or both. The study focused on adults ages 34 to 61 and linked their records with those from their mother's first prenatal doctor visits. After accounting for socioeconomic status, mothers' ages, and other differences, researchers found that those born to obese women were 35% more likely to die for any reason and 29% more likely to be hospitalized for heart attacks, strokes, or other cardiovascular problems compared to adults with normal weight mothers. More modest increases in illness and death were seen among grown children of women who were overweight but not obese. The researchers defined overweight or obese by body mass index, or BMI, which is a measure that takes weight and height into account. Mothers were considered obese if their BMIs were 30 or higher, and overweight if their BMIs were between 25 and 29. It's not known whether adults who get sick or died shared mothers' weight problems. The study did show that the results held up whether or not babies were born heavy. The suggestion that the womb environment sets the stage for later life cardiovascular health and mortality is important to pursue in further health science research. Well, there's promising Mayo Clinic study that shows that Wisconsin ginseng helps reduce fatigue in cancer patients. Millions of cancer patients find themselves exhausted completing the most mundane task, and extra sleep doesn't seem to help. A new study finds hope in a supplement that medical researchers have shown to be effective in boosting their energy levels, and that supplement is Wisconsin ginseng. In a collaborative Phase 3 clinical trial, researchers at the North Central Cancer Treatment Group and the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, recently completed an 8-week study that evaluated the impact of Wisconsin ginseng on the fatigue levels of cancer patients. They divided 364 patients into two groups. One group received a placebo, and the other received 2,000 milligrams of Wisconsin ginseng each day for 2 months. At the start of the study, both groups ranked their fatigue, on average, 40 out of 100. After 8 weeks, the group who took Wisconsin ginseng showed improvements in overall energy levels, reported higher vitality levels, and less interference with activity due to fatigue. Participants reported a 20-point increase in energy level, which is statistically significant. Wisconsin ginseng is well known in traditional Chinese medicine to help with a variety of ailments, including fatigue. Western medicine is now taking notice of the health benefits of Wisconsin ginseng, also known as American ginseng. We'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, what is the benefits of eating goji berries? Well, also known as wolf berries, goji berries offer a bunch of health benefits. In fact, I grow goji berries in my own yard at home. Like blueberries, acai berries, cranberries, and cherries, goji berries are packed with antioxidants. Goji berries also offer compounds that are rich in vitamin A. And goji berries are one of the most nutrient-dense foods on the face of the earth. Now, some studies using goji berry juice found benefits in mental well-being and calmness, athletic performance, happiness, quality of sleep, increased immune response, and feelings of good health. So goji berries are really worth trying and including in your diet regularly. The berries are dark reddish in color and taste like a cross between dried cranberries and dried apricots, and you mostly really find them in a dry form looking like a little dried red raisin. Now, here are some ideas for using goji berries. Now, in smoothies, you can take a tablespoon of them and just throw them in the blender with your smoothie and mix with the other ingredients, and it adds some additional antioxidants to your drink as well as good nutrition. As a trail mix, add goji berries to your favorite trail mix, or make your own mix by mixing your own favorite nuts and other dried fruits along with the goji berries. With cereals, you can add goji berries like you would any other dried fruit to your hot or cold cereals, and that'll give it a nutritional boost with every bite. For breakfast breads, add goji berries to muffins or scones, just as you would like raisins. And in salads, sprinkle them on a variety of your different types of salads for an actual nutrition boost and also additional good flavor. You can actually make homemade energy bars when you blend a handful of goji berries together with a cup of walnuts and maybe half a cup of almonds and 5 or 6 dates and put them together in a food processor and roll it into a ball in a deep pan. You can make some great tasting energy bars with that added nutrition of goji berries. So those are some recipes to look for or try at home using goji berries. And next time you're at the health food store or the natural food store, look for those little red goji berries. Get some and add them to your recipes at home for added nutrition.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
And our featured guest today on Health and Longevity is Linda Watson, and Linda is the founder of CookForGood.com. She created her wildly affordable cooking plans after being inspired by a national challenge to eat on a food stamp budget. She credits her background in project management, helping her to not just survive, but thrive on just a dollar a meal per person. Linda is a member of both the International Association of Culinary Professionals and the Project Management Institute, and she's written two fabulous books. One's called Wildly Affordable Organic, and the other one is 50 Weeks of Green Romance and Recipes. Well, Linda, thank you for being with us today on Health and Longevity.
Pleasure to be here, John.
Well, let's talk about, I know you're a big believer in organic foods. Let's talk, first of all, about the importance of why you feel it's important to eat organic foods.
Well, because you're not eating the toxins. It's amazing to think that the chemicals that are sprayed on our foods were first developed to kill people in warfare. As World War II was over, people didn't know what to do with the poison, so they came back here and said, well, we've got to sell them somehow. Look, they kill bugs, too. Now, of course, what we tend to eat is not directly what was used in World War II, but it's close. They're neurotoxins, and you don't want to have that on your food and in your body.
Now, let's talk about the two books here and how you came about it. Wildly Affordable Organic, before the show you were mentioning me how successful it is. Tell us about how you came up with this book and the features in the book and how successful it's been doing.
Well, I started off on 6 years ago hearing about the food stamp challenge. Anti-hunger activists had said, you know, the food stamp allowance has not been raised in 6 years or in 9 years. What can we do about that? So they asked people, journalists, church groups, various activists, well, just go ahead and cook a week in somebody else's kitchen. Try to get by on a dollar a meal per person for a week. And when I saw the reports, people said, oh, I can't afford to buy fruits and vegetables. I only can buy foods that have a lot of calories but no nutrition. And I thought, well, that's crazy. That's not how I worked my way through college. So I started getting involved with that, and it has been fantastic. I spent really 3.5 months that summer on variations of the food stamp challenge. And now my book's been on the Amazon Top Organic Cookbooks list, top 10, for 20 months this month.
Well, that's great. So now when people think organic, they often think, oh, that's going to be a lot more expensive and all that. But you develop a program here on how to do it in an affordable way.
It's very affordable. It's what I've wound up with. I can do it on a dollar a meal, but to tell you the truth, it's a little bit boring to be stuck at a dollar a meal. At $5 a day, so not much more, $5 a day, suddenly you're eating like a king or a queen. It's just amazing how great the food can be. And that's with my organic plan. You can do that for about $3.21 a day using conventional or industrial grown foods. So that both of those are under the food stamp allowance for someone with no other means of support here in North Carolina and very affordable wherever you are. You might pay a little bit more in California, but I still can help you squeeze the most value out of really delicious food.
Now, your other book is 50 Weeks of Green. Now, where did that title come from?
Well, it's a spoof of 50 Shades of Grey. I got interested in that book when I saw that it had outsold Harry Potter. And as a food evangelist, I thought, there's a woman who knows how to get people's attention. I have to check that out. So I downloaded the first chapter, which you can do for free online. And I read it and said, oh, my heavens. Her romantic hero and heroine are the very people that I've been fighting as a social activist and someone who's trying to encourage people to live a green and kind lifestyle. I don't care what they do in their bedroom, but I really care that they're hyper-consumers, that they're violent to their employees, and that they're just not nice people. So I thought I would write a romance that starred a farmer and a woman who runs his CSA.
Well, tell us a little bit about CSAs, for those that aren't familiar with that. How do you do that?
Right, that's because it's actually an awkward name for it, isn't it? It's consumer-supported agriculture.
Uh-huh.
So it's like a produce subscription. Of course, if you eat meat and animal products, you can get that for those sorts of things, too. But I focus on a produce subscription. So it's like subscribing to a magazine. You sign up for a certain number of months, pay your money up front, and then the farmer can use that to buy seeds and, you know, pay for people to help and, you know, pay for the farm, basically. You are supporting that farm, and in return, you get the best of whatever, usually every week. It's a fantastic way to get exposed to new fruits and vegetables, to get the freshest produce possible, and to support farming in your community.
Now, between the two books, how do your books differ and what's the similarities? I know, I believe you said that 50 Weeks of Green is all totally plant-based.
Yes, it is. It's all plant-based, and both of them focus on whole foods and cooking from scratch, no waste and thrift. But Wildly Affordable Organic is more of a traditional cookbook. It starts off at the beginning telling you, you know, here's how you store food, here's how you work with your freezer, here's how you shop at the farmer's market. Then there's four seasonal cooking plans, a 20-minute-a-day starter plan, shopping list, efficient cooking methods, and 100 recipes. So that's a great, you know, here's, if you want to know how to cook, mm-hmm. that's the book to get. If you want three-quarters romance and then some recipes to go with it, 50 Weeks of Green is your ticket. That's more lighthearted, and it is, Sheila, my heroine, learns how to cook. So you start off with a bean dip that uses canned beans and some salsa. It's really good. It helped me get through college. And work your way on to delicious collards and peach cobbler. Really a little bit more complex, but delicious food.
Well, let's talk about some of the different recipes in the different books. Let's start off with Wildly Affordable Organic, that book. Share some of the more popular recipes, some of your favorite recipes.
Well, one of the ones I actually had today is a Cuban black beans. That's my starter recipe. If you don't do anything else, please cook a pot of beans every week. There's no added fat, unless if you don't put fat in, there's no fat in those beans. You can add in vegetables. They're super, super thrifty, and you can do almost anything you want to with them. Cuban black beans get a lot of their flavor from garlic and bay leaf. They freeze well. It's a great starter thing. Also, spicy peanut noodles with seasonal vegetables is another one that is kid-friendly and delicious. You learn how to make a sauce with peanut butter, super cheap, add in some ginger, some garlic, some soy sauce, and then toss that with hot noodles and vegetables. So the vegetables vary based on the season. They're always thrifty and in peak condition. So those are two of the really top ones from Wildly Affordable Organic. From 50 Weeks of Green, one of the things I have in there is a baking mix, which is a spin on the old Bisquick baking mix that I grew up with, mm-hmm. which is full of just terrible, terrible food. oh, my heavens. But I use whole grains and wheat germ and then a coconut spread to add the oil in it. But then you can use a lot of maybe your old home favorite recipes without any animal products in them. So that's a really great, flexible thing to have. Another one is Lentilicious Sunshine Spread, which is takes red lentils, the fast food of the bean world, some really good Indian spices, and in a flash creates a very colorful, delicious spread that can help you get ready for lunchtime again. It's brown bag season again, so let's have something to take to lunch.
Great. Those recipes sound good. And let's talk about the importance, really, getting back into the kitchen, because today, you know, very few people cook. Of course, they're very busy with their schedules today. They got work and so forth, and there's not too many stay-at-home moms anymore and have to feed the whole family and so forth. Maybe there's some suggestions you can give, you know, using organic produce and so forth in cooking, and I think you gave a good suggestion there. For instance, cook the pot of beans for the whole week. That's a very good advice.
I love cooking in advance, cooking in large quantities, and even if you just double your recipes. So, for example, I have pasta a lot. I have pasta probably 5 times a week.
Oh, okay.
But different sauces. So I have a tomato sauce. I have that peanut sauce. I'll have a green sauce this time of year, basil pesto or arugula pesto or parsley pesto. So it's always a lot of nice variety. But I boil twice as many noodles as I need to eat that day. And then the next day, I just have to heat it up or, in some cases, eat it cold. That means fewer dishes, less time in the kitchen, less panic because you've got something right there to eat. So cook once, enjoy many times is a great tip. And another thing is I like to avoid waste, and that can lead to some time savings too. You know, greens are some of the most nutritious and affordable vegetables, but they can be so discouraging when you cook them. Have you done that where you take a grocery bag full of collards or kale and cut off the stems, throw away the woody stems like so many recipes say, mm-hmm. and you steam them and you have this little handful of greens? It's good, but it's sort of discouraging. What I do is I take those stems, cut them into quarter-inch pieces, and cook them first. So cook them for 5 minutes while with the onions, say, or just steam them a little bit longer. then add in my leaves, the stems don't shrink. So not only do you get about one-third more by weight of what you paid for that you can eat, perfectly delicious, but you get maybe two or three times as much volume. So more fiber, more satisfaction, just more to eat. And you had to cut those stems off anyway. Why not get two or three times as much food out of your effort?
Now, let's talk about some of the issues going on today in the United States, and is a real concern about GMOs. Let me hear your thoughts on that.
I think that we just don't know enough about GMOs to allow them to be unleashed into the wild. That's my big concern. It may be that in the long run, we're able to do enough testing and so forth that we say, oh, it's perfectly okay to splice animal genes into plants and whatnot, and that's not going to cause any long-term effects to our health or the health of our ecology, but we don't know. And to mess with the food system, the very thing that keeps us alive, is beyond dangerous. It's irresponsible. If, in fact, these GMOs have something to do with causing cancer in us, in hurting the bees, in making it easy for weeds to take over or stronger plants to go through and take over ecosystems, then that's just too dangerous. We should be eating only the things that we know are safe at this point.
Do you work at all with some of the farmers that have certified organic farms?
Yes. I'm an active member of the Carolina Farm Stewardship Association and the Center for Environmental Farming System here at North Carolina State University. So I volunteer for the farm tours, and I go to the Sustainable Agriculture Conference every year, that sort of thing. I love my local farmers. I, in fact, joined a CSA, a consumer-supported agriculture program, as part of researching my book, 50 Weeks of Grain, and that was really fun. Part of what you could do with some of these CSAs is actually not only get to know your farmer at the farmer's market, but we had potluck dinners together where people would bring food that they made with the produce that was grown for us by our farm. So it's fun to get to know people like that.
Well, in addition to your books, you've been making some DVDs, and tell us about those.
Yes, I have four DVDs, the Wildly Good Cook program, which are available on my website, cookforgood.com. They take you through the key skills of wildly affordable organic. So the first one teaches you how to get organized and when to scrimp and when to splurge when you're at the grocery store, and how to really make good use of your time and all your resources and attention. The next one's on beans, the next one's on seasonal vegetables and saucy pastas, and the final one is on how to cook for good in 20 minutes a day, because you can cook 60% of your food in just 20 minutes a day if you get organized, and I can help you with that. And I think that you'll enjoy, Doctor, that these videos show the plant focus that you can get out of wildly affordable organic. So when you get the videos, there's also a supplementary book online that has plant-based versions of all the recipes that aren't already plant-based. So how do you make plant-based pizza? I can help you with that.
Well, getting children involved in eating more healthy foods, what are some of the suggestions you have for maybe parents that are maybe they've been having a lifestyle that's been focused on eating lots of meat and foods that aren't too healthy, a lot of those junk foods, and kids have been raised that way, and then you're going to make a change and be inspired maybe by your books here to revamp your whole kitchen and get on a really healthy diet. What are some suggestions that you can make to parents in trying to introduce these types of foods to children?
That's a great question. And what we've seen work over and over again, I work with a lot of nutritionists, is set a good example, show experience, feel yourself that it's fun, you're involving all your senses, this food is delicious, you're looking forward to it, because they will smell your fear. If you're afraid of the healthy food or you think it's bad, the kids, they've got their antenna out, and they too will scorn that food. So you have to enjoy it first. And then the best way for all of you to enjoy it is to really get involved. So I say grow a vegetable garden if you can. Also, go to the farmer's market. That's a great way to even find out what you want to have in your vegetable garden. Take the kids along. Maybe give them even a little allowance or help them pick out. Let's put them in charge of, you know, Johnny, you pick out the squash this week. Susie, you pick out the apples. Let them make some choices. Have them sample food. When they see where it comes from, suddenly it's more interesting to them. And if they've helped, it's more interesting. And then cooking from scratch is so much fun. It's It's not a chore. It can be your therapy after work and also a way to be close to your family. You think about it. Where is your child more likely to talk to you about something that interests them or troubles them even than at the kitchen sink? You're there elbow to elbow, maybe getting beans ready or working on a pie, something like that. That's a place where you can talk. Standing in line at the fast food place is not a place for private confessions. So to pull your family together and show them the respect and joy of good food that helps them be healthier and happier, cook together.
And so once again, we have two books here, Wildly Affordable Organic, and that's DeCapo Lifelong Publisher, and also 50 Weeks of Green, Romance and Recipes by Linda Watson. And Linda, for those that want to know more about you and your work and obtaining the books, where can they find them? And also your DVDs so they can get really a wealth of information to set up your kitchen and to eat a healthy, organic, plant-based diet. Where can they find more information about all you do?
Thank you so much. The mothership is my website, cookforgood.com. So come there, you can find out about all of those things. And I have a free newsletter, so you can sign up, get a free recipe and some food news every week. That's a nice way to get your feet wet. And then I help
your newsletter, it's an e-newsletter, and it comes out once a week with new recipes?
Right. Yes, I'm getting ready to put out a fabulous zapped peaches with cinnamon and sorghum. It's really good. I just had it for lunch, so that's going to be this week's recipe. If you come next, but there's good recipes all the time.
Okay, and again, the website is?
cookforgood.com, cookforgood.com.
Okay, well, Linda, thanks so much for being with us today on Health and Longevity, and we encourage you, and thank you for all the wonderful things you're doing and teaching people about a healthier way of eating and eating organic, which is contributing to all of our health and longevity.
Thank you for all you do. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for today's program. Until next time, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.